That music was my favorite group, the Red Stick Ramblers. I think that one was Main Street Blues. That's kind of my favorite one. I love, really like those sticks he plays on the fiddle. A special guest today was going to be talking about career contentment. We can't get a hold of our guest, so we have a co-host that was going to be here with us anyway. As a gift, she has said that she will be the guest also on the show. Her name is Ida Walsh, and we'll be with her in just a moment. You're listening to BBS Radio. This is Sherry Edwards, your host for this hour. The show is Sound Health Radio, and we're running into our second year doing this show, and we love it, and we're very happy that you could join us. As most of you know, we investigate the ideas of using the voice as a holographic representation of the human body. And then we provide people with low-frequency sound that entrains their brain. We did a project this week on rheumatoid arthritis, and it was just an absolutely incredible rush to watch those people use their hands. I just saw them light up with awe, and I love it. And one of the things that Ida does is work with people in another form of information from their body, a neuro-linguistic programming. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes right after these announcements. We've got three. One, thank you for all the emails and the phone calls. We love hearing from you. And we had a question come in that says, what happens to my questions that don't get on the air? Well, we send them over to the guests that we had in the hopes that they'll get back to you. And we also save questions for the next time that you're a guest. So they're a guest on the show, or we might have a similar guest. We also had a question, someone calling and asking, tell us more about the Chicago Expo you're going to be at the end of the month. Well, you can do healthfreedomexpo.com and get more information. That's June 22nd to the 29th, and I'll be speaking on Saturday. The topic is frequency a new drug or an ancient mystery revealed? I want to talk a lot about how sound is used in vocal codes and even is part of the Da Vinci Code and the Holy Grail mysteries. We'll be doing vocal codes, cool profiles, using vocal codes. If I could talk. We have three booths, and we're going to be doing profiles for people, and we'll be teaching you how to do this. We've cooked up something that we're providing a present to each of you that's going to be attending our lecture. We're going to give you a card about your own signature sound and what that means. This is a very special group. They're a nonprofit group that's putting this on, and they're lobbying for your health rights. It's $15 a day to get in, to listen to different speakers every hour, and hundreds of vendors. I think there's a special ticket, too, for all 3 days, like $35. The last announcement, we have special classes going on in June, mainly because we've had people donate money to us, and we have some funds for matching scholarships. So if you want to take some of the classes and start a new career so you can help people using frequency and sound health techniques, just get in touch. And you can call us at 740-698-9119. Or you can go to our website, Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sounds, that's plural, NutraSounds.com. Or you can email me, Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, at SherryEdwards.com. Okay, that is the end of our announcements. On with the show. We have with us Ida Walsh, and Ida, you are an expert at a lot of things. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you do with people, for people, I should say.
Well, Sherry, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to actually speak out to your listening audience here. My name is Ida Walsh, and I've been studying neurolinguistic programming, accelerated learning, since 92 when I was introduced to it. English is actually my second language, and I traveled onto this country without knowing a single word of English. And it took
Where are you from? I can't tell.
Not a lot of people can tell. I've traveled and lived all over the world. My father's Turkish, my mom is German. So I've lived in Libya and Africa and Europe and in Turkey, UK, you name it. So I was a little bit of a brat, kind of living overseas up until about 13 and a half, 14 years old when I first came to this country not speaking any English. So throughout my challenges in understanding the culture and adjusting, I've researched and figured out a way that best fits my learning and mastering English and mastering communication skills. And around 92 is when I started really studying neurolinguistic programming. For those of you who don't know what neurolinguistic programming is, it is, excuse me, it was invented by Richard Bandler and John Grinder. And it is a way, to put it in the simplest form, is it's a way we encode and decode our experiences into our body through the use of senses. And Sherry, you being one of the sound experts in the area, it fits right into what I teach and how I teach.
It's kind of like nonverbal language.
Yeah, it's nonverbal and verbal. So if you really think about how we learn, we always learn by association, right? We were discussing this a little bit earlier about how we learn a different language. If you decide to learn another language, and if you sit across from somebody who speaks another language and starts talking to you in another language, you would never be able to learn that language unless you have a way to associate. So if somebody holds their hand up and says, this is a hand, and then says that hand in a different language, now you have the association. Or the word that you know that matches up the pattern of the language that you know.
Can we sneak something in here about language? Could you tell people about the experience with your voice this morning here?
Yes, this morning I came in. We had a very long night last night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't go back to sleep. And when I did go back to sleep, my little four-month-old ended up waking me up about an hour into it, so my rest was broken. And I do notice that sometimes if I don't get good sleep, that my voice tends to get affected. And for those of you who might not ever have experienced something like this, but I actually ended up getting mono, and I lost my voice for over 10 weeks where I had no voice, and which led me on a path to seek some
kind of a squeaky voice.
Well, by the time I got to you, actually, it was starting to, you know, come back a little bit during the mornings and such, but I went to a specialist, you know, I had the scope up the nose, down the throat, and they couldn't really give me any kind of medication or anything, but there was nothing wrong with my throat. They did all kind of imaging on my throat, and they couldn't find anything. But I still couldn't speak, and as soon as I got on conference calls, and there goes my voice. And being a coach and a trainer and a teacher, you know, my voice is my bread and butter. So it's very, very important to me, and that led me to a path to actually come and take your course. And during that course, I started, like you were saying, my voice was squeaky. And we did my vocal print, and I think it took about 2 minutes for us to try different tones that came up on my chart, and about 15 seconds of listening to it, you could clearly see my voice coming back.
Nobody's going to believe that, Ida.
That's why we have it on tape, right? And it's very, very interesting because my background and what I teach, and I coach utilizing NLP and hypnosis, NLP actually talks about how we encode everything into our body using our senses. Now, how we put in experiences into our body, how we encode those experiences, also is utilized when it comes back out. What I mean by that is we experience certain things. We decide, you know, that they have certain values for us, such as fear, right? Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So we actually make that and turn that into something fearful. So why are people afraid of a tiny little spider?
Do you think it was fear that took your voice away, or the mono, or?
I think it was the mono.
That took it away.
That took it away because I was pregnant my first trimester, which bogged my body down as well, and I was having challenges with my pregnancy as well. So after I was diagnosed with mono, not knowing that it wasn't part of my pregnancy and it was just because of my adult age and our planned pregnancy, that, you know, took a lot out of me. But I truly believe it was mono that helped start the process of losing it, and then the stress that it caused on my body because I couldn't perform my job anymore. So there was a few things that, you know, it has a domino effect, as we call it. Certain things happen, and it leads to something, and I always believe that everything happens for a reason, and hence I ran into you, Sherry.
So what I was going to talk about is, if you're losing your voice with something emotional, then is that something that you could see what the emotional cause was from the NLP?
How NLP works is neurolinguistic programming. The neural part basically says we encode everything that we're taking in from our environment, from our relationships, from what we see, what we taste, what we experience with our hands, you know, all the five senses. We encode that into our brains, into our bodies. If you notice that certain people can sit a certain way, if I asked you to cross your arms right now, and you would cross your arms a certain way. But if I told you to cross it the other way, some people have a hard time, like Sherry is right now.
It feels very odd.
It feels very odd because we got those habits and patterns formed into us. And it's the same thing with in the mornings when you do certain things and you don't even think about it, because after you do something 27 times, or sometimes it takes a little bit longer than that, it gets shoved into our subconscious brain and we don't think about it.
But even when I was trying to cross them different, my arms kind of had a life of their own and crossed them the same way as I did in the beginning.
Exactly. So it's the same thing for, you know, when people are looking for jobs, let's say, you know, we were going to talk about jobs. They're so comfortable in a certain arena or a certain way of doing things that now that technology is changing, the environment is changing, the job market is changing, they need to shift. And that's the hardest part, and that's where coaching kind of comes in. That's where the new opportunities also come in.
But this is a one-on-one thing where you watch people's body language, and so
yes, I was trained by a person who actually trains interrogation officers. So what he does is he teaches you how to read that kind of body language. And it's the same thing that you do. You basically baseline somebody, right? Because everybody's got those habits that we were just talking about. Some people are just so nervous, their legs are going. Some people sit like this because overseas, this is a sign of respect and I'm crossing my arms. But here, if you do that, they take it as you're being defensive, you're being closed. But it's not the same thing for everybody. So if you buy a book on body language and that says, if you do this, that means you're lying, versus if you had ear infections and this is what you were doing to get rid of it.
She's pulling her ear.
I'm pulling my ear. It's out of context. So you need to baseline somebody and understand what their patterns are, understand their words, because words are how they communicate what they feel. Their body language, their hands, if they're utilizing their hands, that's the kinesthetic part of it.
So is it body language, is word language, is habit?
It's IQs, right?
IQs, not IQ, but EYEQ.
EYEQs.
Okay.
On most people, and this is, as you know, right brain, left brain, whole brain is a little bit different, but when you ask somebody a question, their eyes will shift down, especially if it's an emotional question, because they're kind of turning in, accessing their gut feelings, their history, their childhood. You can test this out with your grandkids, with your husband. Ask them a question that's emotional or that's in the past. Most of the time, their eyes will look down because they're thinking
so
that way.
Down is past and emotional. And this is the color part of their eyes actually move down.
This is your eye, your entire eye moving down. Please. And sometimes people's eyes, because a lot of the questions that I get is, well, my eye's moving everywhere. How do you know what I'm accessing? It's the pattern that you're thinking. So if you look up to the right or the left, because above, if you're looking up, that's usually visualization. Now, if you look up to the right or the left, depending on the person, one of them is making up something, creating an image. The other one is creating a new image, right? So you can tell when a person is actually lying.
So you do you ask them base questions?
Yes. You have to baseline. You have to ask them questions so that you understand what their patterns are. And that's what interrogation officers do. That's why they have that glass.
If people want to run out and try this on their kids and ask them an emotional question, they shouldn't ask the question they want to know first. What are some baseline things they could ask?
They can ask them questions like, when was the last time you felt really happy?
So something they wouldn't think they're going to get in trouble for.
Right. Okay. So, and the eye level usually means auditory. So if they look up to the right or the left, they're either creating or accessing history. So if you ask them a question about, what was the last song you heard on the radio?
So they're actually...
So their eyes would go either right or left.
Toward their ear.
So toward their ear.
There's a big clue. Down, emotions, gut level.
Right. So if you ask a singer and say, you know, if I ask you to create a beautiful ambience music, can you tell me what it would sound like? And you will see that they look up because they're visualizing, they're creating it, they're doing the thing. And then their auditory will come in, right? And if they're relating it to anything that they've done in the past, they'll look down. But it's that pattern of process. How are they accessing those cues? That's the key.
What's the difference in a memory that's true and a memory that's, or can't be a memory, or something they just make it up?
What is the...
Okay, if you ask me, I looked up or right.
Mm-hmm. Hating it.
I was trying to think of a sentence to ask you here. What's the difference between me trying to pull a memory out of my brain or thinking about something I could tell you, like a kid?
Yes, making up stuff.
Yeah.
Lying versus accessing history,
yeah.
Right? Well, lying creates different chemicals in your body because you have to come up with it. It usually takes a little bit longer versus something that you're trying to access from history unless it's something that's really past.
Isn't a memory chemical?
Isn't our memory chemical?
No. Is there a memory chemical?
I believe so, yes.
But you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
I think
the way that, and this is in my book that's coming out, the way that I layered, I believe that we have 7 different layers of senses.
You're writing a book. What are you calling it?
It's called Ultimate Success.
Ultimate Success. Okay.
And I had the pleasure of actually putting about 21 people through a 90-day total transformation program, trying different things with the brainwaves. That's what I was talking to you about earlier, utilizing brainwave technology to be able to help them remove some of those blocks, to utilize their goals as the main source for them to do everything during the day to achieve something towards that goal, and for them to understand how important their goals are. Because a lot of the times, we're just kind of surviving through life, and we're chasing money instead of chasing our dreams, not realizing that if we do chase our dreams, it creates that energy that gives off, that vibration that gives off, that attracts the money that we need to get to where we need to go.
I feel a project coming on. Wouldn't it be great if we could take people's vocal print and figure out, if we ask them what they're dreaming about and the ultimate thing, take a base, ultimate thing in their life, and then see what the brain chemicals are that come up, that access their joy and their what they want for themselves. Wouldn't that be awesome?
And that, yeah. And the nice thing about this, Sherry, is you can actually have somebody learn so much about themselves and help them learn about how they can reprogram themselves. And that's the ultimate goal of the NLP coaching.
Do you do that in a mirror or something?
Yeah, you do it with a coach, with a mentor. What the mentor does is to teach you about it, and this is what my program is. It's not for me to teach you or coach you for the rest of your life. It is to give you the tools that you need to understand yourself so that you can program yourself at any time to achieve the goals that you want. Because if I ask you what your ultimate goal is right now, what is ultimate success, and you have an umbrella of things that you would want, right? Happiness with your family, healthy, whatever, right? But the minute you start to achieve those, your ultimate goal completely changes. Not completely, but it adds on to it. It always is growing. Because we have that habit of always wanting more, always growing what we want. And that's human nature.
Do most people not, are they not really clear about what they want?
There are a lot of people that don't know. Or, I shouldn't say that. They think they know what they want. I do this manifestation workshop where, you know, people come in and we go through manifestation. People saying, oh, I've watched The Secret, right? If I just think positive, if I just visualize it, it's going to come to me. I just have to have faith. Well, it's not so much that, but it's understanding what are you really manifesting? What have you manifested in the past? And what are you vibrating to attract new things in your life? Let me give you an example. I had one lady that came in, and I asked her, I said, what is it that you want to manifest? And she said, I want to manifest money, right? It's a common thing that everybody says. I want to manifest money. And I said, okay, well, if you had that money, what would you invest it in? What would you do with it? And she said, what I want to do with it is buy a house, a big house. I want this kind of car, da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, what does that get you? What is having that house, having that car, having all those things really get you? And we just went through a process, and this is what the coaching does, and this is what the mentoring does, this is what NLP does. And I could tell from her body language that she wasn't quite sure, because she was turning around, twitching a little bit. So probably about 3 or 4 minutes of going back and forth, well, what is that going to get you? Well, how is that going to make you feel? At the end, she broke down and started crying, and she said, all I want is my family back.
So that was the house for her family.
So all that stuff, I said, if I take all of that stuff away, if you don't have the money, if you don't have that car, if you don't have, you know, all the little things that you said, but your family is here with you.
Would that make her happy?
Is that, yes. And that was the ultimate goal. She said, yeah, you know what? It's not money I need.
You know,
it's how you get to your ultimate goal.
Well, somebody could also, I'll give you $1 million if you'll go kill somebody. You know, there's money, but what are you willing to do for it?
Exactly. So it's a coach and a mentor utilizes NLP to understand the person and to dive really down deep into it and understand what they really want to achieve and what's really important to them. That's their value. That's their desire. And people think, oh, everybody wants success. But how do you define success? Your success is completely different than my success because of what we've gone through, right? Because of the responsibilities and experiences and everything else that have gone through. And you take somebody that's working at McDonald's and ask them, you know, what is your ultimate goal versus a Fortune 100 company executive, right? You're going to get two completely different goals. But what is the bottom line? What is the emotional motivator? Because the emotion that comes with that, whatever you want, is coming from your heart. And whatever vibrates from your heart is what it's attracting to you.
Is success the same thing as contentment?
It really depends.
Well, you could be successful in reputation but not content with all the groupies hanging out.
Exactly. And if you define success as having $1 million in the bank, then, yes, you're successful, but are you really happy?
Okay.
So it's how you define success within your mind, within your heart, right? It's how we define it, and it's how society decides it for us, too.
This is not something somebody can just read a book and learn to do and say, oh, you're a liar. You have to be trained to do this, don't you?
Yeah, you have to train. But, you know, you can start. You can start practicing. You can start noticing it. There's lots of books on NLP. There are lots of articles and CDs and everything else. I was very, very fortunate to have somebody that actually trains the interrogation police department to learn a little bit more involved.
Do they train you to intimidate people?
It's not so much intimidation, but it is to get to the answers that you need, right? If somebody's sitting there all calm and they're answering those questions and their eyes are kind of shifting where they should shift, and then, boom, you ask them, did you steal that? And all of a sudden they're fidgeting, right? There's cues. And Sherry, now you found out that if their voice will fluctuate. There are so many little things that our body gives off. I mean, it's our breathing, right? Our breathing changes. Our heart rate changes. That's the whole polygraph stuff. But you can train your mind and your eye to see that and to be sensitive to that. Our energy shifts. people who are really sensitive to energies can feel that.
So if these clues are there, do you think we knew how to read them a long time ago and we just forgot because we wanted to respect people's privacy?
I think people do that automatically, but they just can't realize that that's what they're doing. Have you ever been in a crowd where you turn around and you're like, I can feel somebody staring at me?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't learn to trust those feelings, or it's not okay to turn around and stare at somebody. But I just think people know this stuff. They don't trust it. And I think privacy is a total illusion. That people really know everything about you, and you just might as well give up trying to hide something. But that's just my issue with it.
But so, you know, the power of your brain is where everything starts. If you learn how to control your mind, you'll be able to control your brain. You'll be able to control your body. You'll be able to control the energy.
How do you control your mind?
That's the practice. But little things like that, you know, if you notice how you're behaving and you decide to make some changes to become more successful, to become healthier, to do da-da-da-da-da, there are different ways that you can achieve that. And that's looking inward. And an NLP practitioner would go in and figure out how you've programmed your mind. For example, if I ask you to visualize true love, go ahead and close your eyes and tell me.
I have a really hard time about that. We've had 2 or 3 shows about what's love.
Okay.
And people defining it.
Okay, let's say ultimate success.
Writing and getting all this stuff out to the people that we do and having time for my grandkids to run in and give me some hugs and smoochies.
Okay. When I tell you that, did you see a picture?
Yes.
Oh, is it one picture? Is it a movie?
It was one picture in my office with my grandkids running down the hallway and yelling, Grammy, Grammy, Grammy.
Okay.
And I had time to stop and be with them. And I don't often have that, so that's kind of my ultimate goal. We got a lot of little two and three-year-olds in the family, and that's when they're so precious and they're so open and so giving and I just love them at that age.
And kids are the easiest to do this with. And it would help parents so much if they understand how to use this to help their kids.
I noticed when we were talking a little bit about this today, when I access information, I have to go back and read it almost, and I have to close my eyes and read it. I didn't notice that you didn't say that to me. It's
how we map it. Now, the reason I asked you to tell me what you see is because most people, right, in front of you either see a picture or a movie or bits and pieces of a collage, just different pictures. And those pictures sometimes are black and white. Sometimes they're colorful. Sometimes
they're
vivid.
They are black and white.
They're black and white? Okay. Yeah. So there are emotions attached to that. And when you break those away, like if that's fear, if we were talking about something that you fear, it's often something that's big, and, you know, because kids are great at describing this. He's got monstrous eyes, and he's coming, his hairy legs are coming at me, and their fear is so big, and it's right in front of them. Just by simply guiding them through and shrinking that little spider, the big spider, into a little spider that has a funny face and that's looking at you because it's lost its mommy. The image and the mapping of that completely changes.
So you're reprogramming.
You're reprogramming how you access things. So if memories are built as a chain of chemicals, right, and now you're disconnecting them and connecting them to something completely different, it doesn't have the same impact. That's how Tony Robbins was able to cure phobias in 15 minutes, right? 5 minutes. That's how he became famous, curing phobias within 5 minutes.
By doing what?
By doing just what I was telling you about.
So if I have this memory that I don't want anymore, then neuro-linguistic programming can take it away?
Yes.
Hey, are you available for individual sessions? Do you do workshops?
Yes. Yep.
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, our website's going to be up and running. I've had to delay that a little bit because of my non-compete clause. But it's going to be up, and it's going to be Ultimate Success Coaching.
UltimateSuccessCoaching.com.
And we do individual coaching sessions Right now, I'm focusing more on the businesses and the executives.
So you would go out to a business and do this for the employees through the business owner or group?
And executives and businesses. When businesses have problems and they can't seem to break that barrier of either, you know, only making so much money or revenue, profit margin, or they're sinking, or, you know, they've come to a point where, you know, the business isn't growing. We basically come in and we do the coaching. We shift the energy levels. We shift the patterns. We shift the belief systems. Now you're completely transforming not just the business, because business itself will transform in its own, but the people in it. So the minute people start to shift, people start to understand how to deal with customer service calls that are coming in a more polite way, understanding and communicating with people better, right? The simple example, the easiest way to gain rapport with somebody is to utilize the language that they're speaking. What I mean by that is, if I come into you and start using some fancy words, right, and you're going, okay, this person is, you know, I have to figure out what she's saying. But if I use your language and communicate back to you with that same language, with the things that you know and associate, then we have an instant rapport. Let me give you an example. For IT people, when I'm coaching IT people, I'll walk in and I'll give an example. IT people are people in technology, information technology, so computer programmers, network administrators and such. So if I go in there and I say, okay, your brain is like the CPU in the computer, boom, they get it. Mm-hmm. What's the conscious and the subconscious, right? What's your awareness? How do we open up your awareness? What's in your ROM? So I relate it to things that they know. The same thing with kids. Kids can't learn a concept that is so foreign to them. If you give them a formula, they're going to look at you like, what? But if you put toys in there, right, if you had toys that they can relate to and they understand what the concept is, then they get the concept like that.
Isn't that kind of manipulating people?
Why is it manipulating?
Oh, you're using this on me. I get it. Because if you want to convince somebody of something, and you go in and use their language just to make them like you and understand you, isn't that kind of manipulative?
I guess that's the way you might be able to think of it, but I can't control how you feel about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that if I want to communicate with you effectively, if I want you to understand what I'm trying to sell to you or communicate to you, if I use my language, if I come in here and I say, you know, I use subconscious, conscious, and the part of your brain is this and that, it doesn't relate to anything that you understand, versus if I come in and say, Sherry, we're going to figure out how to change your habits so that everything that you do leads to something that's going to bring success into your life, into your business, into your health. That's a lot more acceptable.
I see that in what we teach in the classes. We teach tag learning in our training program. If somebody asks you, well, how do you feel about that, you repeat, I feel da-da-da. But if they say, how do you feel, and you say, well, think about it this way, that's not meeting them where they ask the question. So I get it.
Right. So let me give you an example. What I was saying about is using language to actually embed commands, like you were saying, it's kind of manipulating. We do that without even knowing it. We're manipulated through TV, through our environment, through people who are our managers, through our friends, yada, yada, yada. It's not manipulation, but it's influence. I'd like to call it influence. For example, if you have a kid, I'm just going to refer back to being a parent. If you have a kid and you're taking your son or daughter to the dentist the first time, if you turn to him and say, now, don't worry about it, it's not going to really hurt, what are you associating? The kid has an instant image in his head of being hurt. And it doesn't matter if you say it's not going to hurt, because the image of hurt is already there. You have to first imagine it to be able to say it's not there. So now the kid's going in there thinking, okay, this is not supposed to hurt, versus...
But it might. Yeah.
But, you know, you've now embedded that image into his subconscious mind of what to expect and what to visualize. That's why when we talk about, you know, if I tell you not to imagine a pink polka dotted elephant, you first have to imagine it and say, okay, don't think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You talked about using this in business and increasing productivity and money.
Yes.
Can you do it just in a business where people aren't getting along?
Yes. And that works great. Because in a conflict resolution, right, you take two people that are arguing over any kind of a subject, right? You understand the baseline. There's always a way to agree on something. A great line is, if you and I weren't getting along, we're fighting over something, and I would turn to you and I would say, Sherry, I guess we can agree that we disagree about this concept, right?
That's tricky.
And now we have agreed. So you have one agreement. And then you go back and you say, okay, what are we both trying to accomplish? There's a commonality there. Let's figure out what that commonality is.
I forgot to tell people they can call in. I was so intrigued by what you were saying. Let me give people the numbers here. This is going to be the number for the USA, toll-free, 877-876-5227. And the toll-free number in Canada, 888-815-9756. The direct line is 530-876-3222. And if you can't remember all that stuff, and who could, just go to bbsradio.com, and the numbers are right there on Station 1. That's where we are. Or you can write to us at radio@vocalprofiling.com. Radio@vocalprofiling.com. Most of our people like to write us because some of them use their phone lines to listen to
dial
the show. So remind me to turn around here and look, since I'm getting so intrigued by what you're saying, to turn around and look and see if anybody wrote us anything. Okay. Do you just plop them down and say, we're going to talk? Or the boss said you have to talk to me? Or how do you convince them to talk to you in the first place?
About the conflict resolution? Mm-hmm. Give me a scenario.
There's two people in this office who are really sniping at each other because one thinks the other wants their job. The one that thinks the other one wants their job is just totally off base and out of line.
Okay. So we would bring them in. I mean, are they fighting?
They're sniping at each other in front of people and just trying to make each other look bad, which is a problem for everybody else.
Okay. So as a boss, are you the person that's going to be guiding them through?
Well,
or how do you deal with it currently?
Well, I didn't know about it until Friday, and then other employees brought it to me and said it's uncomfortable, so I haven't thought about how I'm going to deal with it.
Okay. And I'll give you guys a really good trick on words here. We would bring those two people in, and you would start by saying, I wanted to bring you guys in here because I realize, or I've been told, or that I feel there might be something that's not causing you to get along, that's causing you not to get along. Now, when you bring them in, you want to gain their trust and their attention, and you want to have them relax. So you basically ask them, how are you guys feeling at your job?
I can see it. One of them's going to cross her legs and cross her arms and say, is it so? I can see
is it.
It
is
head.
It so?
It didn't happen. It's not true.
Nothing happened.
So how do you get to that?
So then you figure out, what are you happy with your job with? And what are you not happy with? What are you scared of? Let's figure out what you're really good at so that we can ensure that you're doing what you're doing and you're happy doing it and that we're not overlapping.
Should you talk to them one at a time, alone first? And then
it'll depend on their personality, I have to be honest with you. I mean, you have to figure out what the issue is, first of all, because if it's a personal one, then you might want to deal with it kind of one-on-one. But if it's a business-related thing, like if they're bickering in front of clients or in front of other people, then you might want to bring them in. So this is happening. Other people are noticing it. What can we do to resolve it? How can we resolve it? Instead of saying, I want to resolve it, give them the option to open up to you.
Is this something you train managers to do?
Yes,
as
exactly.
Well as individuals?
Exactly. This is, you know, how to handle employees, how to mentor them the most effective way, because not a lot of people are going to take directions the same way. I have managed multinational, multicultural teams, and the way I communicate to each one was different. Because Korean people, for example, are very respectful. They'll always say, yes, yes, I understand, yes, I understand, even sometimes when they don't, because of their respect. And they will try their darnest to finish and do something that they're struggling with, and they won't come to you because they think that's kind of relating. But if you open that channel up and realize how they are and give them the right information and the right guideline and check up on them on a regular basis to ensure that they receive the help that they receive, the company blooms.
Do you, universally, need to cater to each person's style individually, or is there a group meeting place so you don't have to deal with all of these things?
Yes, and that's the synergy. When you go into a company, if your employees aren't all working for the same vision, for the same mission, with the same belief system, then you're going to have unbalanced energies floating in there. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have issues. You got to create that kind of synergy and that energy that everybody's motivated to be there. Everybody's doing what they want to do so that you have that open communication channel with each and every one of your employees. And yet, sometimes you do have to have separate communication for each one because everyone's problems are different.
Can you do that in a family? Do families ever sit down and say, our goal as a family is this?
Yes, I've done relationships.
I mean kids,
coaches.
Too.
And kids, yeah. I've done accelerated learning. This is where we're kind of evolving it, and unfortunately, I have to train other people to do this. And like you, that's the challenge because I've done so much research, and my experiences are different. And my experience and knowledge in the brain technologies, brainwave technologies, and how the brain works, it's very hard to find somebody that understands the whole concept. You can train them to come in and do conflict resolution, right? You can train them to coach people a certain way utilizing NLP.
What if you got a couple of teenage brats that are really acting out in the family and being belligerent? How can you set them down and find a common goal?
Well, first of all, you got to figure out why they're acting.
They're just teenagers.
But there's a reason for that. Understanding why they're acting the way they do, then you can switch them around.
Like lack of freedom or something they're wanting, so you have to get to
You know, they want attention, they want recognition, or understanding what's driving their behavior is the key.
Is your book going to be geared toward businesses or family things?
It's right now it's geared towards self-discovery.
And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, is there a number or an email?
Yes. My email is ayda@ultimatesuccesscoaching.com.
A-Y-D-A.
A-Y-D-A. That's pronounced Ida. And ultimatesuccesscoaching.com is the domain site.
Okay, and they can get in touch with you by email.
Yes.
If they have some kind of personal question with that. When you took your training, how long did it train you to be able to use this?
Well, I've been studying it since 92. I started studying it when Tony Robbins kind of came up with it and perfected it and kind of took it out into the masses. I took various trainings throughout the years, throughout college and after college to kind of learn different avenues of it. And I've tried different techniques that utilize NLP. I've used it in the health arena. I've used it in the accelerated learning. And I was a college professor. When my students were having issues, I started doing accelerated learning classes and techniques that would help them get through college. And it kind of went off track there, but my book is all about discovering that so that you can utilize all of those. How do you learn faster? What is accelerated learning? How to become a parent that's more effective, that can communicate with their kids and understand it and have that kind of trust and bond with their kids instead of fighting. And I know as teenagers, it's very, very tough because hormonal imbalances and everything else is going, but understanding of that, but reading their IQs, their body language, and how they're communicating to you and transitioning it. Like we were talking about voice, just using your fluctuation of your voice, different voice fluctuations or frequency or pauses.
I've noticed that in training the receptionists here, if they say, can I help you? You know, they go up on the end, and I exaggerated it there. the person on the other end thinks they can take advantage of them. But if they're very even keeled with this, can I help you? Then it's an equal relationship.
Exactly. And without understanding that, without knowing, we adjust our frequencies.
And we adjust how we either respond to or attack. And you can actually train people to stop.
Exactly. And we take, you know, if somebody's coming, marching at you and all pissed off or coming at you because they're, upset about something, and you kind of shiver down and let them come with that energy and overwhelm you versus standing up and saying, how can I help you?
And you can also...
Right? The same energy, but utilizing the same energy.
And you can also tell them that you're not happy. Can I help you? And go down on the ends of your words instead of up, and then they know they're in a world of hurt.
Well, you have to have the balance. You know, with you, you're balancing the frequencies. With communication, you have to balance that. It's the same thing. You know, balancing frequencies in your body, balancing how you're communicating with somebody. If somebody comes into a meeting, we see this often with executives. Some people will come in and they say, I don't have all day here. Let's get to it. I want to know exactly what's going to happen. I have 25 minutes and I'm out of here. And you utilize that same tone and say, yes, let's get to it right now because we don't have a lot of time and here's what we're going to do. Da, 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 da. Right?
They're on your side.
Exactly. And they can't figure out why that is. Well, I really like that guy. Right? They have instant communication, instant bond, instant rapport, and they can't quite figure out how or why, but it's all subconscious. It's because we're matching him. It's that balancing out versus if you come in here and they're talking like this and they're
going
right
over you.
Right? But they don't have that respect. They don't connect with you. Right? It's the frequencies that are off. And which one wins, which one overwhelms. So it's the same thing with monotone people.
Do you use this in every interaction you have with people?
I think subconsciously I probably do. A lot of people tell me that. Are you analyzing me? Are you watching my IQs and they'll cover up their eyes? I don't. If I'm trying to help somebody, which is my mission, to be able to help each and individual person to discover how they can do this for themselves, with their families, with their husbands, right?
But you said it needs to be trained and not everybody does it the same way. If you have a teenager that's an uplooker when they're lying, the sister might not be the uplooker when they're lying. So everybody has a base.
Yeah, everybody looks up to visualize. It's just the way, because when you move your eyes, your brain accesses certain parts of your brain. This is how they figured it out. So if you're looking up, and when you're meditating, people will say, roll up your eyes up so that you can see, you can visualize. And when people say, I can't visualize, I don't visualize, we put them through that kind of process. Everybody does visualize, even if they see letters. That's still a visual implementation of letters.
Can you hypnotize people by speaking a certain way and using certain language? I know you see it on TV and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
But is that deliberate, like talking on the beat, talking off the beat? You know, what kind of language hypnotizes people?
Advertising on TV.
Commercials. Hypnotize you?
Of course.
How do they do it?
Well, let's see. Association, the frequencies that the alpha waves that are given off the TV, right? And the access to your emotions. So you associate. Let's say I'm trying to sell you something that's so bad for you, but I associate with a beautiful man or a woman that's drinking it, that's got a happy life and everything else, and the repetition. You see it. Remember I said 27 times. If you do something 27 times over and over again, it becomes a habit. It gets shoved into your subconscious mind, the doorway of the subconscious mind, and you don't even think about it. When you're driving, do you think about actually pressing the pedals and... Right?
Not now.
Not anymore, but initially, how hard was it?
Terrible. But if drinking a beer and they associate it with sports.
Exactly. So what do you have at the sports bars? Beer.
Wow. So commercials for stereo was fun and little creepy crawler things in the boxes that you can play with. Promises.
But it's all association. This is how we communicate, whether we know it or not. When you're communicating with somebody and you connect with somebody instantly, it's because you're using the same technique. You're just not aware of it.
Is the cadence of the language significant?
Yes.
That was good. In what way?
Yes, music. And music. I have a little sign over there for my husband that's saying music is very important, too.
So you use music behind the words?
Music is very important. If you watch a horror movie without the music, do you think it's going to have the same effect?
No, because... clang, and you know, somebody jumps out at you.
And even if the scary part is coming, right, the music starts way before it happens. Uh-huh. And your heart rate's increasing, your attention span is completely focused because the frequencies that are happening in your brain that's transforming everything that's going on in your mind.
Yeah,
that's the same thing with language.
Yeah, that 1 to 6 stuff that's, you know, like real creepy stuff, da-da-da-da kind of stuff. So it's how you use the notes together in music. I realize that.
And using music... and something else that you want to learn, if you build up on top of that.
I think we do that automatically in our voice when we're trying to manipulate somebody, and some people are just better at it.
It's not, like I said, I don't call it manipulation, it's influence. Yes, influential people are able to connect with people like that because they match and mirror. In NLP, they call it match and mirror, and they do that automatically.
Do you think people who aren't very successful and kind of like this all the time and just people kind of see them as losers because they never match them. They're just kind of in their own little world, and I'm just play acting here and putting my face down and kind of
Whimpering, yeah.
Whimpering. So people who aren't successful never learn to meet people. They do their own thing and they fold up in their own little space.
Because their belief systems block them, right?
And you teach people to come out of that?
Yes. Yes, definitely. And one of the things that we do is future pacing or playing roles. For example, if I have somebody that's extremely shy that comes to me, right? We had one person who is extremely scared of approaching girls. This is their dating life. We did role playing. And we remapped how he sees that. What is the scene he sees? What is he afraid of? He's afraid of being rejected. So you kind of go through that scenario. What if I told you that you're going to be rejected 3 times, but the 4th one is going to be, boom, the woman for you? Would you mind being rejected 3 times? I don't know.
That's the motivation.
So what is the fear? So you got to understand what is holding them back. You got to understand, and we do role play. What if you were, tell me somebody that you admire. How would that person approach that person? So go and imitate them. Show me what you can do.
So the idea is to seek rejection, and when you find it, you've succeeded, right? When can we expect your book? We have about a minute left.
I'm hoping to finalize that this fall. And I was hoping to have it actually by September, but because of some business ventures, it's going to be a little bit more delayed, but that's the target. Right.
So you'll let us know? And
yes, it will be on my website, and my website will be up probably within 2 or 3 weeks. So you can check back over there. If you're a part of this radio program, you can drop me a line personally, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Give me your email address again.
My email address is ayda@ultimatesuccesscoaching.com.
And your website again?
Is ultimatesuccesscoaching.com.
Thank you,
Sherry.
Thank you, Ida, for being with us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll see you next week.